One of the joys and blessings of being a pastor is sometimes a pastor gets to know the sheep of his flock very well, especially during times of illness or when someone's nearing death. I remember a number of years ago that a faithful member was nearing his death and making a number of hospital calls, and hospitalizations continue to extend in that man's life. And whenever you begin to visit a person like that, you also get to know their family. Well, this faithful member had five daughters, and of course, as time passes, begin to chit-chat about this or that. It was at the time that my children were receiving their driver's license, and they're talking about what it's like to have teenage drivers and all that. Can you relate to that? Have you been there, done that, that sort of thing? And this man had five daughters, and daughters began talking and laughing and said, our father wouldn't let us get our driver's license unless we could show to him that we could change a flat. And so the daughters shared that we had to learn how to get the jack out of the car, how to jack up the car, how to take out the tire, and how to put the new tire back on. And once we could do that, our father allowed us to have a license. Then one of the daughters began to laugh and said, not so with me. Well, so, okay. So I always carried around with me a roll of quarters, and she was rather a lovely, attractive young lady, as she said, and she said she was always asked out on many dates. And so she told her father, if I ever have a flat, I'll simply get a quarter, and that's back before cell phones. I'll go to a pay phone, I'll call one of the guys who asked me out, and they'll gladly come and fix my flat. And then she said, if that doesn't work, I'll simply call a tow truck with a quarter, and her dad let her get her driver's license. Sort of a unique way of managing things, wouldn't you say? A couple years ago, my family and I vacationed in San Antonio, Texas, and the day's itinerary was a drive from San Antonio to Oklahoma City on Interstate 35 and visit some sites in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And just south of Oklahoma City is Norman, Oklahoma, and if you look off to the right, you can see the stadium where the Oklahoma Sooners play. And after passing that exit, I noticed a funny sound coming from the right side of our minivan, and then the whole van began to tilt that way, and then some more sound, and the van started slowing down. I said, uh-oh, a flat. And so I got out, and we just didn't have one flat, but we had two flats. So wisely, I got the whole family out, Interstate I-35, had them walk up a hill, and we came up with a plan. So my wife and daughters, we gave them cold water, and they walked back to the exit to see about help. I called a tow truck. Now, we just got the tires put on at Sam's. It just happened that at that exit, 1 mile back, was a Sam's. And they were waiting for us. My wife and my daughters went there and set things up. They had our tire size. And the tow truck came and picked us up and lifted us up. Only two of us could get in it. That's why my wife and my daughters walked back. And my son and I were rather happy. There's a Sam's there. It's under warranty. You get our new tires on. All's going to be fine. And the tow truck driver goes, well, you guys are in rather good mood. I said, yeah. He goes, usually when I pick up people with multiple flats, it's usually due to a boyfriend or girlfriend, and they get mad at the other person, and they get four flats with cut tires. So interesting thing about managing flat tires and your own possessions. Do you have stories like that when you had to manage something and get out of a jam about management? You ever been left in charge? Even as a child, sometimes left in charge of the home, my parents went shopping. You ever been left in charge? This is what you're in charge of, and this is what you need to do. And how did that work out? Now, once again, when I say a manager, we don't necessarily own it. We just take care of it, and somebody comes back and makes sure that we're doing okay with it. So as Mr. Mike McGee read to you, the parable of talents, our Lord says that all of us have been given various talents, various times and treasures, and given us skills and abilities. And what happened is, Jesus went away and he calls us to use those talents and gifts here on earth. Whatever it is. I thought you saw some today with Mr. Roth and his really fine children's message. And you have Levi and playing the trumpet. You have a number of other things. And God gives us talents and skills to be used. And when he comes back, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? And he gave us all different sorts of talents and gifts. When he comes back, he's going to say, what did you do with it? And hopefully none of us are like the one who received the one talent and went and hid it and buried it and then blamed Jesus for whatever reason that we didn't use it. And notice what Jesus says here about the wise investor, the person who used their time and talents. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. So today I'd like to talk to you about managing time times talent. What? I want to talk about managing time times talent. Does anybody know what you get when you multiply time and talent? Do you know what you would receive? Well, you receive a paycheck, because that's what a paycheck is. A paycheck is time that you and I spend in our vocation times the time that we serve. And the more talent and gifts and the more responsibilities, sometimes the higher the salary or the higher the pay, and we get paid according to our time. Hence, brain surgeons sometimes, no offense, get paid more than those who work at McDonald's. That is money. Money is time times talent. So I'd like to talk to you about that. So I'd like to ask your opinion on a number of things. Let's start with some true or false statements. We brought nothing into this world so we can take nothing out of it. True or false? Say it. Yeah, true. Oh, that's true. And people can put stuff in our coffin, but we really can't use it at all. And we return to death the same way we return to life. When I was at DCE in Napoleon, I helped a realtor who ran an auctioneer business. And I always went like this. Thursday, we'd go to the deceased home, and we'd pick up all their stuff. And Friday, we'd deliver it to the auction hall, and we'd spread it on tables. And Saturday, dozens, if not hundreds of people came with auction paddles and numbers, and they bought all the stuff, and all the stuff went to the wind. You brought nothing into the world, and guess what? Take nothing out of it. Next, money is the root of all kinds of evil. True or false? Why is it false? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money itself, but the love of money. Money's sort of good. We can pay our dental bills. We can buy groceries. We can put in gas. Money we can give, we can assist others, but it's the love of money that sometimes leads people into temptation, into deep problems. True or false? 54% of all Jesus' teaching and words dealt with money or resources. True or false? What is it? It's true. There's a pastor who gave his yearly sermon on money, and someone got upset and said, "Pastor, I wish that you would preach like Jesus does on money." Well, that would mean 54% of the time the pastor would have to preach on what? Money. 54% of everything Jesus said dealt with some way about money or resources and its use. True or false, God loves a cheerful giver. True. True or false, God hates a non-giver. Yes, God doesn't hate anyone, all right? We'll either love God and despise money or love money and despise God. True or false? True or false? Matter of fact, there's a Bible verse on that. A house can't be operated by two owners. A home divided cannot stand. It was a couple years ago, I believe my family and I went to go see a country music star. I'm trying to remember, was it Kenny Chesney? But anyways, we're enjoying it, and we're at the Peoria Civic Center, and there's only 8,000 people there, so there's not a bad... I'm not sure if it's Kenny Chesney. Brad Paisley. He's pretty cool. I'm really not in a country. I enjoyed him. Brad Paisley. They got it right. We're watching Brad Paisley about halfway through the concert. Someone's really into the mood. And the thing about Brad Paisley, he's always throwing out picks into the audience. And everyone's having a great time. And somebody decided to get on stage with Brad Paisley and decided dancing. And that lasted for about 15 seconds until these three big guys that are like 6'8", 300 pounds. And he got lifted off stage really fast, okay? I'm trying to find those guys. Maybe they can play for the Browns, okay? But the point of the matter is, there's only how many people on stage? Say it. One. Brad's the only guy on stage. He's going to share the stage with anybody else. The point of the matter is, folks, there's only room for God or money. We can't serve both. If a person is faithful with little things like money and possessions, God can trust that person with true wealth, the gospel, true or false. Why? Because money is just earthly. The gospel's eternity. The money will become useless when we die, but the gospel gives us eternal life. So true wealth is the gospel. Money is just temporary. All right, so let's switch here a little bit. Agree or disagree? The church really shouldn't talk about money and possession. It's a turnoff. Agree or disagree? Uh-oh. Agree or disagree? Well, 54% of everything Jesus talked about was about money and possessions. I guess the church should what? Talk about that as well. Yes, okay. The Bible has much to say about managing life and life's resources, including money. Would you agree? Yeah, of course it does. The Bible has much wisdom and blessing about managing life's resources, even to non-believers. Agree or disagree? Yeah, you agree. Dave Ramsey has the number 3 radio program in North America. 3rd most listened to radio program in North America, and he has both believers and non-believers who listen to it, and both believers and non-believers have been blessed by that. So about managing that, that's a blessing. Where people give and spend money indicates what they truly value in worship. Agree or disagree? Agree. Giving and where we spend money is really a value. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there too is your heart. Those things that we spend money on are things that we value. We spend money on things we value, like our children and grandchildren, like our possessions and our home and our health, and also our congregation. What I spend my money on are those things I value. What I don't spend my money on are those things that I don't value. What I give to is everything about what is valued or not valued. Non-believers, just like believers, can be blessed and enjoy wisdom about money. Would you agree or disagree? Yeah, we talked about that. The rain of the Lord falls on both the just and the unjust. All right, let's continue. Please rank these according to God's will. I know it might feel like a test. I'm not trying to make it a test, but rank these. Please rank these according to God's will and desire for us out of his love for us. What's most important? Our giving of money and time, the place money and time has in our heart, or our management of money and resources? Which one's most important? What's number 1? Say it. The place. The place our money and time has in our heart is most important. You shall have no other gods. Where your heart is, there too, where your treasure is, there too is your heart. Where does money and possessions rank in my life? It has everything. That's first and foremost according to God. Our heart cannot be divided by who sits on our throne. Either God or something else will. What's second most important? Anyone? Our management. Why our management? Because we can't give if we can't manage. So let me ask you some questions, okay? What percentage of Americans, if they needed to, could go to the bank tomorrow morning? What percentage of Americans go to the bank tomorrow morning and take out $5,000 without it being a loan? Can someone tell me the number? Just throwing out? I saw 10. I saw 5. Anyone else? 5%. 5% of Americans could go to their bank tomorrow and pull out $5,000 without taking a loan. $5,000 in the bank is saving $100 for 4 years per month. A month, $100 a month for 4 years. The reason why some people can't give is because they can't manage their money. And so I'm in debt. And if I'm in debt, I can't what? I can't give. So managing has everything to do with giving. Or what about this? What if I told you that I tithed 10% and the other 90% I spend at the gambling boat up in Toledo? Would that be a wise management of my money? I still tithe? No. Most Americans can't give because the average American owes nearly $12,000 in credit card, and so I can't give. So managing money is almost, well, in many ways, some ways more important than giving money. And the third up there is what? Our giving of money and time. So God calls us to be wise managers. He's first. We manage resources, and from that we're able to give. I think Mr. Jeff Roth, that was excellent. What God pours into our cup, we can pour into others. If what gets poured in my cup I owe others, I can't pour out to anyone else. Dave Ramsey does a wonderful job at releasing that, okay? So what's the first thing that comes into your mind when it comes to your possessions? It's my stuff, I earned it, so that I could put a lid on God's blessings. What comes to your mind? I give to the church when the church has needs. If the church would keep more people happy, they'd give more. Better sermons, shorter sermons, better kids programs, whatever. It is God who blessed us with all that we have as he has given us our talents and time. So where are you at with that? Last question, what motivates us to give? Guilt? Well, if you don't give, then we can't pay our staff. If you don't give, then our kids can't have Sunday school programs and books. What motivates us to give? Guilt? Well, God's blessed me with a lot. I better give. If not, God's going to be disappointed with me. Or what motivates us is there's some leftover time and funds. I think I might be able to give a little extra this month. God's been really good to me. What motivates us to give? The power of Christ's cross and his word? Or is it the church's needs? Just tell us what the church needs and I'll give it. What motivates us to give? Anyone, what's the right, what might be the correct answer? Say it. The cross and his word. That's right. Okay. So where are you at with this? I don't trust that God will provide for me if I give faithfully. And I think what Mr. Rolfe said is true. I never met a poor person who tithed. I never met a person who gave who said that God didn't bless them. Now, I'm not going to be like a TV preacher and say you become wealthy and rich and drive a Porsche next week if you give. I'm not going to say that. I need God to help me to manage my resources better. Where are you at? I've been selfish and asked God to forgive and restore me. The Holy Spirit is leading me to grow and mature and learn more. I know the blessing of giving and God is leading me deeper. So where are you at? At one time in my life, I was at many of those. And even today, I sometimes flip back and forth between those. But I do know that God forgives and blesses me and forgives and blesses you that we might become more faithful managers. Because he has given us everything, the kingdom of heaven and forgiveness and grace. And all the blessings, he simply calls us, enables us to give a portion of what he has blessed us with. What a joy that is. Faithful managers. So how about this for a closing thought? Can you read it with me? From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We love because God first loved us. And all God's people say, Amen.